Welcome in to DC On Screen, episode 180. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This, my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hiya.
And we're going to get super spoilery on The Flash 222, Invincible. To recap, Barry's cocky because he thinks the Speed Force is on his side. Caitlin is back at Star Labs, but is suffering PTSD symptoms from her time with Zoom. The city is being overrun by Metas from Earth 2. To Joe's chagrin, Wally is fighting the Metas because he feels he wasn't worthy of being saved by the Flash. Also, Earth 2 Laurel, Black Siren, shows up to bring down a bunch of buildings, including Mercury Labs. Zoom is intent on making Barry believe that they are the same, as they share a similar backstory of tragedy. The team finds a way to use frequencies to damage Earth 2 nervous systems into submission, but complications with Jesse and Harry lead to Zoom getting away to Earth 2 at the last second. With everyone together at the West House, Henry and Tina McGee seem to be getting along well, as do Wally and Jesse. Barry and Iris agree to start dating officially, and then Zoom comes in, grabs Henry, takes him to Barry's old house, and kills him. And Wally knows Barry's the Flash now.
Oh, and by the way, big reveal for Wally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, man, what'd you think of this episode?
Delightful as always, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It just, the Flash lets me down so rarely, just so rarely. And then even then, it's just small circumstances. Just stuff like, when I pick on the Flash sometimes, it's stuff that, I feel like a bad person when I'm done.
Yeah, I know.
How dare I? But up front, like the Metamassacre, I mean, the
Metapocalypse.
Yeah. And Iris actually says blackest of nights at some point.
Mm-hmm. She does.
That was a nice little how do you do.
I've seen some people complaining that Tina just magically knew that suddenly magically knows that Barry is the Flash. She told Barry, I'm not an idiot. I was okay with that explanation.
Well, she also says a little too well informed when things go pear shaped. I just always like pear shaped when people pull it out. Man, I mean, it plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not particularly. Well,
I actually, I liked pretty much almost everything. I liked Wally wanted to help. That's a good stepping stone to him eventually becoming the Flash, or Kid Flash, or whatever you want to say in this.
Whatever the hell he's gonna be in. It feels way too old for Kid Flash, but.
Well, yeah. He's like, well, I gotta be Kid Flash. You want to be Black Flash? No. Well, then Kid Flash it is.
There are other adjectives.
Sorry, that just made me think of Andy Richter Controls the Universe. Like, you can't go around calling him the Black Flash. I don't want to be Big Andy. Why can't he be Black Andy? You can't call him Black Andy.
That really was a great, great little show. I enjoyed the fuck out of that.
It's a great show. I love that he's like, I know you didn't just call me here to banter. Actually, I did. I'm so lonely.
Right.
He'd say he was lonely, but it was funny. It's like, actually, I did call you here to banter. I don't understand.
Just for that. Thanks for coming, buddy. So I was surprised by the fact that like Siren can bring down a whole building with her yell these days.
Right?
Which was impressive. I was at least as surprised by that as I was the every once in a while. Flash's graphics are so good, but every now and then they're terrible, and this was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
That looked like Tomb Raider 2, man. It was...
Are you talking about like when Mercury Labs was coming down and
yeah, Mercury
Flash
Labs
was
came
saving
down,
Tina?
Flash saves her, and it looked strange. Strange.
On Twitter, Jacob Raspberry of the Screen Explosion podcast, he's a buddy of mine, he came to me and was like, I hadn't seen the episode yet. And he was like, oh man, the effects are so terrible. I was like, oh man, yeah, thanks. Thanks for telling me that. I was looking forward to this episode. But yeah.
And it's not even the whole thing. It's just that scene is...
It's just that scene, and he did clarify that. He was like, oh, it's just this one piece. The episode's good so far. Okay. And yeah, that scene was bad.
Don't get me wrong, man. It's a cool moment, like him bouncing off all the rubble. That's
mm-hmm.
It's really cool as an idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are moments where you have to call it and say, yeah, our budget can't do this scene. Sorry.
Yeah, they could have easily just had him, like, run up and come out, and you can just see her, see them coming out.
Well, just have him run up. You see the flash while he's moving. The flash while he's moving always looks fantastic. That little streak of lightning. You have her in still frame. You have him grab her in one little moment where they see them, and then you pull down, and then the flash, but the rubble moving outwards. You can do the CGI of the rubble moving, because rubble's a lot easier to do than people's faces, and that's the problem here.
Right.
Even the movement isn't realistic. Like, when he grabs her back, it doesn't give. It just he grabs her back. It looked like a video game. It was it was unfortunate.
Yeah, no.
Still a damn cool scene, but distracting.
You know what really?
Yeah.
I enjoyed the slow burn vibing throughout the episode, leading up to the world splitting.
Yeah.
Like the dead bird, then the dead birds, then like the slow, just the constant reiteration of the same scene.
Yeah.
But showing a little bit more. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. No, it's good lead up. Good lead up.
Very good lead up. I, as played as it is, I even enjoyed the zoom thing. Like, that, it makes sense why he would off Henry. I enjoy, we're two sides of the same coin. Like, that is very played concept. I'm tired of seeing it, but here it works. And,
well, the thing is, I'm not necessarily tired of seeing it. It's a fine concept. You just have to do it correctly. And, well, as you're saying, it has been played, so you can't just do what people did before you. They didn't make it, like, the theme of the episode. It was just a thing that happened at the end. It was quick. It was dirty. You believe Teddy Sears when he's talking about it. You believe the pain on Henry and Barry's faces. It worked. Worked just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think of Wally running over Black Siren?
Fantastic.
I was jealous of him. He got to do what I've been wanting to do on Arrow for years. Run over Laurel.
I know.
Sorry, guys, if you guys love Laurel, man, I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Also, you should be aware, if you decided you hate us just now because you just decided to listen, we did reprieve our retreat from our stance on her in the last few episodes. She was available over on Arrow.
Yeah, they actually made her a really
Cassie
good character.
Cassie was
kind
of killing it over there for a second, but
and you know what?
Talking about season two.
Every time she showed up on The Flash, she was good. I don't know.
We had some problems. Those are well documented. But I liked Wally running around, slamming into people and stopping crimes and all that. But
yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I had the one problem with it, though, where it was a little too pat.
Yeah,
like him being there to hit Laurel right then.
Mm-hmm.
Why? But more than that, before that, like, and that was just me being nitpicky because I'd already had a problem with it. Before that, when he's stopping, steam guy with electric looking eyes, electric boogaloo, we'll call him, purse killer. I don't know who any of the weird metas are in this episode. For God's sake, they were inscrutable.
Well, look, apparently,
if you screwed them, please let us know, because I'm curious as all hell.
It seemed like earlier in the episode, Wally was just like subduing them with really no effort at all. Not Wally, Barry.
Oh, Barry, yeah. No, Barry, and that's the problem Scott had, was like, he can suddenly stop all these people.
Right.
Yes and no. I think it was more that he realized he could suddenly stop all these people because he's that damn fast. But before, it was a problem. Now, I grant you fully, Scott, that being in a fist fight with Laurel later is not...
Right.
Those are...
Jason's speaking of Scott Madison of the SimplySyndicated.com podcast.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I grant you fully that he was running at the speed of plot on that occasion, but they got to Banner, it was fine.
Yeah,
no, my problem was while he's running around the city, presumably just taking out any random muggers he finds that, especially if they happen to be metas, and finds himself a meta, has gotten in a little over his head, and Joe happens to be the guy who's on scene right then. He's a detective, not a beat cop.
Yeah, that was more of a stretch to me than him running over Laurel.
Right. I was just kind of, I was already a little bit nervous about it by the time I saw Laurel. So I was still thinking,
Well, yeah. I mean, Wally was listening to police radio.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he knew exactly where Laurel was. He was like, oh, the Laurel, like Black Siren and the Flash are having a thing. He's like, oh, I'm going there. I got to check out my boy with the Flash.
See, that made all the sense to me in the world, I guess. It's just, I don't know. The first one was so weird for me. And, they had a great conversation, by the way. I got over it very quickly. Last time I checked, I have a whole lot to make up for. Fantastic.
You know, I had a similar issue with Scott when Scott was saying Mercury Labs is falling down and the extras are standing around with their hands in their pockets like they're waiting for the bus.
That made sense. Actually, my bigger problem was Black Siren just turns and walks away with this giant evil smile on her face, and like all the employees are sitting around going, "Oh no, blah blah blah." Hey, there's like a person dressed in black leather that just walked away, looking all happy. I have a feeling she may have some. I don't want to profile here, but people dressed in a bunch of black leather with an evil smile right outside of the side of a personal tragedy might be worth looking into.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. So let's see. I hated Cisco and Snow pretending to be Reverb and Frost. I was like, how are you getting those costumes up that quickly? Especially like the Frost eyes and no.
That was weird. I thought it was so funny I didn't care, but I fully admit that those costumes should not be available on short notice.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. Also stupid, all doppelgangers are mirror images of themselves. So if you're right-handed in Earth 1, you're left-handed in... No, that's so stupid. How? No. That makes no sense. That is retarded.
Okay, all right. There's a thing called the Mobius Strip. For God's sake, someone who's smarter than I, check my science here. This is weird science. But there's a thing called a Mobius Strip. It's an idea in just universal physics where if you went in a certain configuration and started it and came and it's kind of a figure eight thing and came back to the same position after all that, if you started right-handed, you would be left-handed. You would literally become a mirror image of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea whether I have any real grasp of that situation. In fact, I'm sure that I don't. But the simple idea of it has somehow comforted me in situations like this. We're like, no, mirror you has a... is right-handed.
Once you get to a concept like, no, in Earth 2, they're all left-handed. If they have their opposite or whatever on that front. Once you get to that point, like... I start, like, devolving into the Elaine-Jerry conversation from Seinfeld about Bizarro Superman. Like, oh, no, he's the exact opposite. Okay, is he black? Well, no. Does he live underwater? Well, no. Really?
Okay, but those are not true opposites. Right and left are true opposites in the symmetrical world. Like, black and white are not an opposite thing. It made for okay TV in the 90s, but it won't work for science, damn it.
I don't know.
Science I was trying to...
It just seemed really dumb.
Articulate.
I'll accept that there's a scientific theory out there that, for whatever reason, might go along with whatever what the hell they're saying, even though they just needed really... They just needed a reason for Laurel to know it wasn't them. That was the only thing.
Like, yeah. Now they had to have some kind of tell. It was all right. As soon as she threw something at him, I kind of knew what we were in for, but...
Meh. As soon as she threw it, I went, oh no, he's going to catch up with the wrong hand.
That trick. Oh.
Now, I, you know, was okay with the idea that his doppelganger might be left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
What I wasn't okay with was the explanation that all doppelgangers are the opposite. I'm okay with the idea that maybe that just kind of worked out differently with him. Because if we go with the multiverse theory, like everything is possible. So obviously not all doppelgangers are going to be the opposite on that spectrum. Well, because somewhere there's going to be a Cisco that's right-handed again. There just has to be.
Well, that's the thing is like that's what starts to confuse you about an E1, E2, E3. Even when you get to E3, you don't know what to do with it. If it's just a mirror universe, then yeah, it's your universe time -1. Mm-hmm. Everything will be exactly its opposite. Fine. Great. What about E3?
Apparently, those people don't exist at all in E3.
Times -1.5? What's the equation? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Barry said that none of the people on his Earth that he knew existed on Supergirl's Earth.
Maybe it's just one variable is exactly the opposite in each universe. You know, something like that. Something workable. Like, in E2, you... some people come out evil, some people don't, but that's more of a circumstances situation. But we're all left or right-handed, and that's opposite. You get to E3, and it's going to be like, yeah, but you can or can't grow facial hair, depending on which Earth you were in.
Mm-hmm.
What about E4? Well,
are you specifically pointing out Mr. Spock now?
Maybe a nod. I'm also proposing that I guess if we see Earth 1 win, he'll have a great beard. Great beard. Mm. He'll be a lumberjack for all we care.
Yeah. Speaking of dodgy science, I love that, like, after Zoom gets away to Earth 2, they're like, how did he open the breach? And they literally go, who knows?
Internet, we have foreseen your subreddits, and we counter you with who knows.
I kind of like that that Barry just went ahead and just told Joe, you know what? I'm not going to stop Wally from being a hero. Just let him do his thing, man.
Yeah. No, what killed me, though, is at some point, I can't remember where it is. I just had it written down, and now I can't remember it. But I remember the line. Joe actually says, I'm in no laughing mood. Mm-hmm. And since I can't remember the line, I'll just recite the rest of my note. Well, shit. End of the world.
And then Sisko looked up, and it was the end of the world.
Right. Oh, he had one of those lines that's just always going to be him. Please tell me I didn't just vibe the future.
Yeah. Man,
the cat's funny. And it's not always about the line being funny. That he generally he has a lot of those. But that dude's funny.
Mm-hmm. He is. I'm glad you see that.
I see it. I have vibed it.
You vibed it?
I vibed it. I vibed his funniness.
So all of the Henry and McGee stuff, do you think that was just there as I don't know, fan service, or do you think there's something going on?
I'm starting to deeply worry that it's just them giving us fan service to play about, giving us another sandbox to distract ourselves in while we should have been worrying about who's in that mask.
Yeah, I was right. I think I'm right about Jesse and Wally.
Remind me.
Pretty hard for that scene. Well, I mean, during the big like dinner scene where they're all at the house, they're playing at the Jesse and Wally flirtation.
Pretty
hard.
Yeah, they are. I mean, we got to the big turning point in the episode, and, you know, obviously it's Henry dying. And honestly, my entire note, don't get me wrong, I was emotional because there's great actors involved in that scene, and how do you not?
Mm-hmm.
But I just wrote down, Henry, fuck all the theories.
You know what? I ran a poll on Twitter.
I saw.
Did you see?
I did.
Well, then no need for us to mention it.
If I gathered by a substantial margin, your poll participants believe that it is the real Jay Garrick under that mask, and I agree with them.
Yep. It was between the real Jay Garrick, 90s Flash, old Wally West, and old Barry Allen, Grant Gustin. 61%, a whopping 61% believe it's the real Jay Garrick under that mask.
And I've been saying for a while now that I think under that mask is another Teddy series of some form. And that I do think it is actually going to be Jay Garrick, like the true one, especially after the producers straight up said, we love Jay Garrick. We're not trying to dishonor him.
I think
hugely paraphrasing there. But
here's the thing, though.
The purpose.
I think it'll be the real Jay Garrick, but I think it'll be John Wesley Shipp.
Another actor.
I think it's going to be John Wesley Shipp.
All right.
Especially after John Wesley Shipp a couple episodes ago said Garrick was my mother's maiden name.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a fun. If you feel like it, run another poll. Which one? Okay, maybe it's that.
Now,
is it Teddy Sears or?
Here was my thought, though, because he said Garrick was my mother's maiden name, right?
Right.
What if he's the doppelganger to? What if he's the doppelganger to the '90s Flash? Because the '90s Flash had a brother named Jay, and if his mother's maiden name was Garrick, well then doppelganger. Let's say she never got married. She didn't get married to that piece of shit asshole who treated Barry like shit.
Yeah.
She just names him Jay Garrick. She doesn't have the first kid. She has the second kid as the first kid. Yeah, that could work.
That could definitely work.
So did you see the promo for next week?
No. There is a
huge circular machine, and Zoom. Well, we see. Zoom wants to have a race to see who the fastest man alive is. And it looks like they're going to do it. And we get a different iteration of Run, Barry, Run, this time from Zoom. And
it is just not going to be heartwarming when he says it.
Oh, no. It's creepy as hell.
Yeah.
It's different. But we also see Barry kneeling over his dad's grave and says, I promise I'm going to take from him what he took from you. Which is kind of a long-winded way of saying, I'm going to kill that asshole.
Yep.
I don't.
Although it is extremely, I don't know. It seems maybe he might be going for something less obvious because they could have been more obvious and the line would have been, in a way, more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're talking about some secondary effect of death.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the huge circular machine, Brian McShane on Twitter says, maybe the huge circular machine Zoom has made is a large-scale version of the speed cannon. So, yeah, that, I mean, it looks like, I think whatever it is going to be ripping apart the universes, or maybe merging the universes. It's going to be tie in directly, probably, I would assume, to what Cisco saw in that final vibe of the worlds being destroyed. I don't know how to say this name. I'm sorry. But Hannah Larisova on Twitter says, maybe the man in the Iron Mask is Jay's father, or did I miss what happened to him? I guess you're talking about Zoom's father, Hunter Zolomon's father. Yeah, we don't know what happened to him. They never said, I don't think.
No, actually, but she might even mean Jay's father, like the true Jay's father.
I mean, maybe.
That's possibly how he would get someone like Jay Garrick to have participated in his terrible activities for a while.
Yeah. I don't know.
That could work.
Sam, I gotta give this to
season
Twitter.
Two of The Flash. We're one episode away, and we're still going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could work. That could totally work.
Well, I don't think we'll think that
for
about
a variety
this next
of theories.
Yeah, Sam Ruiz on Twitter says, "Is someone the team wouldn't believe? Some possible speedster known for traversing the world in a night in a red suit. Zoom has Santa Claus."
It's okay. There's a category I'll differentiate. There are the theories I think are most correct, and then there's my favorite theory, and that is now my
right.
favorite theory. pulls the mask off. Who are you?
I'm Kringle.
That would work if they did it right, man. You know, then they can bring in Lobo to like take out Santa Claus. There was a one shot, you know, where Lobo was hired to kill Santa. It was kind of a bastard. So
of
I mean.
Course.
Let's do that. I mean, the fans can riot. Screw it. I'm down.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm so looking forward to that. I'm so like, I wish it was, you know, we're recording this on Monday night because you had a wedding to go to on Saturday. And by the way, we have people who are not okay with us being late.
I am sorry. Guys, I was a groomsman at a wedding, and I deeply apologize. I literally had to participate in this thing.
It's okay.
Yeah, my deepest apologies. Also, I'm a groom at a wedding this weekend, so it's going to happen again, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But try not to get divorced before I actually get any rings on.
Mm-hmm.
Wish me luck.
So, yeah. So we're sorry, but stuff's going down. But this is Monday night. I cannot wait to watch Gotham. I wish it was Tuesday night so I could watch The Flash as well.
Right.
I am just on the edge of my seat about all this crap.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow in the interim, I found a place to watch all of Daredevil Season 2 and just was just over the moon. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, man, you got to talk about that later.
Yeah, we do. We don't do a Marvel podcast, but you know who does? Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall over at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. So that's one plug
in
down.
Depth about
we
the
don't
topic.
Have to talk about that now.
Yeah. Been covered aplenty.
Did you have any more on this episode of The Flash?
No.
I thought it was a fine episode for the most part.
Onwards and upwards.
And you know what? Black Siren, she's in a cage down below, so she might pop out and, you know, I don't know, go hook up with Ollie or something to make some fans happy. I don't know.
Sure.
Like, oh, what? Felicity's still not a thing? Now, before that gets too deep, let's have a little Black Siren Ollie thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really don't care, but...
Why the F no?
Thank you guys for listening to DC On Screen. And thanks for commenting. We got some good comments this episode.
Yeah, man.
Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever pods are caught. You can find every episode on DCOnScreen.com. We're proud members of the Giant Size Team Up of the Giant Size Team Up Network, GiantSizeTeamUp.com, MCUcast.com for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Our next episode will be reviewing Arrow 422, Lost in the Flood. Until then, keep some DC on your screen.